Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at the Ukrainian elections. This Sunday's general elections in Ukraine will see the incumbent oligarch Petro Poroshenko fighting for his political life against energy tycoon Yulia Tymoshenko and comedian Volodymyr Zelensky. The current president has presided over what has indisputably been the country's worst period since its 1991 independence, with the economy plummeting to African-like levels according to some comparative studies, fascist-era nationalism running rampant, and the eastern part of the Civil War-torn country still beyond the post-coup authorities' grip. It's therefore unsurprising that a recent Gallup poll reported that Ukrainians had the world's lowest level of confidence in their government. Other surveys suggest that Poroshenko is polling at record low numbers ahead of the vote and is trailing Zelensky by a wide margin, with it apparently looking like the comedian will take the top spot in the first round of voting, while the incumbent will battle with Tymoshenko for the second spot in the next round if no candidate wins more than 50% of the vote this time around. While it remains to be seen how accurate that increasingly popular and internationally discussed prediction is, there is no disputing the meteoric rise of the comedian that some observers attribute to society's growing cynicism after the Euromaidan color revolution. The so-called revolution of dignity was anything but for the vast majority of Ukrainians who are now struggling to survive, and many seem ready to throw political caution to the wind in order to elect a totally fresh face to represent them, who's seen as distant from the entrenched, ruling oligarchic class, unlike his two competitors. Still, it's interesting to many that Tymoshenko might come out in second place. This controversial businesswoman and former prime minister represents the dreams and aspirations of the 2004 Orange Revolution, yet another moment of unfulfilled high hopes in Ukraine's recent history, and is trying to stage a political comeback after being largely relegated to the political periphery after Euromaidan. She still has her base of supporters, but it seems like her wider appeal is nostalgia for a comparatively less destructive revolutionary moment. Either way, this Sunday's Ukrainian elections will be the first time in 5 years that the world gets a chance to read the people's pulse. So folks, having said that, I think we're all excited to see what's going to happen this weekend in Ukraine. So we're going to start off our show by speaking to Mr. Padraig Joseph McGrath, who will give us a better understanding of what we can expect. Padraig is an Irish journalist who has been living and working in Crimea for the past 5 years. Hi, Padraig. How you doing today?
Hi, Andrew.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Padraig, who is the U.S.'s candidate of choice in this election, and who most closely represents the peoples?
Well, to answer that question, we have to take kind of situation in Ukraine furthers U.S. geopolitical interests. As a zone for investment or economic colonization, Ukraine holds little importance for American commercial or financial interests, apart from Monsanto. But American military contractors' interests, obviously, are served by Cold War 2.0. Even the New York Times has referred to the Ukrainian economy as, quote-unquote, a black hole of corruption and waste. So the question then is, if there is the possibility to transform into a profitable colony in a foreseeable future, then what kind of situation in Ukraine coheres with American geostrategic interests? Well, it would then seem logical that the only use which the U.S. has for Ukraine is as an instrument for creating developmental challenges to Russia, which, with regard to Ukraine, means destabilization for the sake of destabilization. The Ukrainian presidential candidate who is best suited to this agenda is the incumbent Poroshenko, insofar as he represents a dead end, a continuation of hostilities and the humanitarian crisis in Donbass, a continuation of political crisis in perpetuity, preventing any meaningful economic recovery, etc. All of these factors present developmental challenges to Russia. The more dysfunctional Ukraine is, the better it serves U.S. interests. So it seems logical that the United States would ideally like to see a continuation of the crises which have characterized Poroshenko's stint as president. Regarding the Ukrainian people's preference, well, the only methodologically grounded way to answer that question is to look at polls. And the most recent one I've seen has Volodymyr Zelensky leading on 26%. But those polls have been quite volatile from one week to the next. Zelensky has been the consistent leader, but different polls have delivered quite fluctuating results regarding support for Poroshenko and Yulia Tymoshenko. The most recent poll puts Tymoshenko second on 19% and Poroshenko third on 13%, whereas a week ago, another poll had Poroshenko second on 13% and Tymoshenko third on only 9%.
Okay, very interesting, Pedrik. Well, then what explains Zelensky's meteoric rise in the polls, and how popular do you think he really is then?
Regarding Zelensky's popularity, well, as I've said, for all their flaws, polls remain the only methodologically grounded way to try to answer that question. But regarding possible explanations for Zelensky's position in the polls, we might see it as the product of a perfect storm. I think that it would be excessively reductive to see Zelensky as merely a protest candidate or a desperation candidate. There's something far deeper than that going on. Considering that Zelensky himself plays the role of the president of Ukraine in a popular TV show, there's an almost cosmic level of self-parody at work, not only by Zelensky himself, but also by his support base, which is pretty interesting from a phenomenological point of view. The question being asked is, what is Ukraine? Is Ukraine a real country, or is it merely a hyper-mediated simulacrum of a country? Is Ukraine itself a country or a TV show? So we might read a certain kind of maturity and clear-sightedness into support for Zelensky, perhaps somewhat ironically, by supporting or voting for the comedian. His supporters are signaling a preparedness to look at the absurdities of the country's political, economic, and social condition in the clear light of day. They're signaling that they get the joke, as socially tragic as that joke is. In a country where most people's lives are so economically desperate, to discard wishful thinking like that actually takes a lot of maturity and courage. Another factor is that while Poroshenko is an instrument of American policy, Yulia Tymoshenko is probably the Kremlin's preferred candidate because of her track record of negotiating with Russia during her time as prime minister. Also, she's the only candidate with the political gravitas to possibly consolidate power enough to have a chance of moderating the Donbass policy, which under Poroshenko has been determined by the nationalist extremists and paramilitaries who make up the Verkhovna Rada's Parliamentary Committee on Law Enforcement, with appalling humanitarian consequences for the civilian population of Donbass. So with these factors considered, Tymoshenko represents the best hope for restabilization, which coheres with Russian interests. But this may very well be another factor in support for Zelensky, insofar as it means that he's the only noteworthy candidate who is not, in effect, an instrument of any other state actor's foreign policy agenda. Through support for Zelensky, Ukrainians are showing that they're tired of Ukraine's internal politics being merely a manifestation of great power geopolitics. And this goes back to the same question which I've mentioned previously. Is Ukraine a real country? There's a certain kind of very clear-sighted self-diagnosis being expressed through support for Zelensky. One way to understand it would be to blow Johann Gottlieb Fichte's theory of ego formation up to the macroscopic level. The implicit idea in the Zelensky phenomenon might be articulated as, before we self-postulate and thereby bring ourselves into existence as a nation, first we must recognize that we do not currently exist as a nation. And only after that admission is authentic self-positing possible.
Okay, this was very deep, Pedrik. Thank you for that. Now, real briefly then, if Poroshenko somehow makes it to the second round, how likely is it that he'll cheat to win?
Well, that possibility certainly can't be discounted, either with regard to the first round or the subsequent runoff. But before we even begin to discuss vote counting, we have to entertain doubts about the veracity of some opinion polls themselves. Polls influence the momentum of political campaigns, of course, and we have to suspect that in some of the polls which had Poroshenko overtaking Tymoshenko for second place, there is at least some level of methodological bias in favor of Poroshenko, if not outright fabrication, especially as those results have been clearly contradicted by the results of other polls. We have to remember that as the incumbent, Poroshenko has the coercive machinery of the state at his disposal, and the Ukrainian media space has increasingly been impacted by the coercive machinery of state over the past number of years. Poroshenko's strategy from here is to try to guarantee, by one means or another, that he'll finish second in the first round. Most polls suggest would require some level of vote rigging, and Poroshenko's approval ratings have continuously been in single digits for the past 4 years. If Poroshenko does manage to survive the first round of voting and therefore remains eligible to participate in the runoff, then he's got 3 weeks to pull some other rabbit out of the hat. It might be more vote rigging or some other deus ex machina, such as, for example, some pretext for the reintroduction of martial law. we have to suspect that the naval provocations in the Sea of Azov, which precipitated martial law in November, were devised in an attempt to somehow suspend, postpone, or otherwise derail the presidential election process. So it wouldn't be entirely shocking if Poroshenko found some new spurious pretext for a reimposition of martial law before the scheduled April 21st runoff. He might get a blank check on that score, considering that he's the Atlanticist candidate.
Okay, Pedrick, thank you for the deep analysis about each of Ukraine's presidential candidates and the election as a whole. I especially liked your question about what is Ukraine? Is Ukraine a real country, or is it merely a hyper-mediated simulacrum of a country? Is Ukraine itself a country, or a TV show? That certainly gave us a lot to think about. Thanks again. Now we're going to hear what Mr. Miquel Puertas has to say. Miquel is a teacher and blogger from Barcelona who spent 1.5 years living in Donetsk.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Mikhaila, how free and fair do you expect this Sunday's general elections to be?
Poroshenko took the power after a process of the Maidan revolution that some people like me, no, labeled like a coup. No? I don't think this man that took the power illegally, no, is going to respect anything. No? I mean, I don't think it's going to be fair. In my opinion, I don't know if there is other candidate. There is this corrupt lady that she was in the jail, no, Yulia Tymoshenko. Well, I don't know. You have to choose between, I don't know, Satanás and the evil, no, the devil, no. It's very, all the process is corrupted. This is my point of view, because you have to analyze, you have to understand that the current regime in Kiev is the product of a foreign intervention. No? Basically, it's the result of the Maidan coup against the Ukrainian constitution, against former President Yanukovych. And then we cannot expect something fair, or in my opinion. No? I don't think that Poroshenko, well, maybe Poroshenko is not going to be the president, but the other option is Yulia Tymoshenko or something like this, or some other ultra-nationalist. No?
Yeah, if I understand you correctly, then what you're basically saying is because of the conditions in which the vote is being held and everything that happened over the past 5 years, it's very unlikely that free and fair elections can be held. And you brought up Yulia Tymoshenko. So this brings us around to our next question, Mikhail. And I want to ask you what explains her political comeback, because she was kind of marginalized after Euromaidan, but now she's either in second or third place according to the latest polls. So how likely are her prospects of winning?
I think she's more suitable for the new current Trump administration. This is my point of view. I think the Trump is doing his work, no? The new administration. He prefers Tymoshenko for some reason, probably because Tymoshenko she's not so, how to say, connected to, I mean, with the former Obama administration. No? And Trump probably, he prefers Tymoshenko in Kiev, no? Like a new president. This is my point of view. I think behind Tymoshenko is the current or new Trump administration that has no good relationship with Poroshenko, just because this is a consequence of all this political process. You have to remember that Poroshenko is a product of the former Obama administration. And then probably Tymoshenko has some chance, no? Because I understood that the new administration in Washington, the Trump administration, is somehow understand that Tymoshenko is better for their new approach, no? To Russia, for instance. No? I think this is my point of view. And this is why I think that Tymoshenko has some chance. No?
Okay, I gotta say, this is a very interesting point of view. I haven't heard that before, but you make a lot of sense. It really gives us a lot to think about, Mikhail. Now, to wrap everything up then, what's the likelihood of protest if Poroshenko is accused of stealing second place from Tymoshenko and Trump's favorite, as you've called her, is kicked out of the second round?
In my opinion, it's a person that was, it's a product of this revolution, the Maidan revolution, that was created or funded or promoted, no, by the former Obama administration. I'm not sure if he has not. Also, he's very unpopular in Ukraine. He's extremely unpopular. No, he is also responsible for the war in Eastern Ukraine. I have been there for 1 year and a half, no, in Donetsk People's Republic. No, I think that the elections, if Tymoshenko is the winner of the elections, she has really a chance, because I understand that it's backed by the new Trump administration. I think that Poroshenko has really very low support in Ukraine right now. And Tymoshenko is a person that, of course, she's very corrupted. She has a very terrible background. But somehow I understand that the new administration in Washington is somehow for them is better, no? Having this lady in Kiev, because how she managed, you know, to have some kind of a good relationship or something like this with Putin, more or less. No? And then I know what is going to do Poroshenko, but if Timoshenko wins the election, I think he's over. Probably he will finish out. He will leave the country. Maybe he will find some new house or new place to live in, probably in Canada, no? Because in Canada there are a lot of Ukrainian emigres, and then there's a huge community of Ukrainians there, no? I think that this man is going to sooner or later disappear, no? And I think it's probably that now he's going to disappear from the scenario, like Yatsenyuk, some other politician, no? He will end his life in a, well, why not, in Canada, in a resort there, no? He's a billionaire, no? So it's a shame, because he's also a war criminal, no? And the people forget that this man is committed atrocities and is responsible for massacres against Ukrainian people in Eastern Ukraine. So, I mean, but he probably will end soon. He is going to finish as a politician very soon, but he will find a new place. Probably in some place, no? I think in Canada or even in the United States. I think more Canada, because there's a lot of nationalists living there, no? In former Ukrainian Nazi collaborators, the sons and grandsons of, you know, in Canada is a huge community of Ukrainians supporting the Maidan, no? So, I mean, this is my prognosis. I don't know. I think the best scenario is this one, with Timoshenko in power. You can imagine, no?
Okay, Mikhail, thank you for coming onto the program and sharing your views with us. I thought it was very interesting how you said that Timoshenko is Trump's favorite because she's not as connected to his Obama-era deep state enemies as Poroshenko is. That really was pretty interesting. It's the first time I heard of it, but it makes a lot of sense.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Pedrig and Mikhail shared this today, I think we can come to the understanding that these probably aren't going to be free and fair elections. I don't think anybody's going to kid themselves and say that these are going to be a huge expression of the people's will and they're going to be democratic in any sense. But having said that, the authorities can only rig the polls so much, and all the polls leading up to this election do indicate that Zelensky is leading. Now, we might be surprised, anything can happen, but that does seem to be what will happen in the first round. But as for the second round and who might join him, will it be Poroshenko or Timoshenko? Honestly, nobody knows just yet. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.